This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Allah SWT mentions in Surah Anbiya the story of many prophets. One of those that he mentions is the Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. And his story particularly is very interesting for the patience that he displays while he is afflicted with many, many different types of calamities. Today, or rather this week, we were celebrating the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, a day to, this is celebrated by everybody across the world, to raise awareness about how people who are in a situation of disabilities, how we can support them, how we can work with them, how to provide accommodation for them. And in light of that, I wanted to speak from the story of Ayyub alayhi salam to shine a light on how we can find his story and his example as a guiding light for us, particularly for those of us who are either disabled or are helping and supporting a family member who is disabled. Ayyub alayhi salam is described in the Quran in a few surahs. In Surah Anbiya, he's described very briefly, and he's described making dua. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. He says in his dua that I have been touched by harm, and you, Allah, are the most merciful of those who have any type of mercy. You are the most merciful of all people, of all creation, of all people put together. You are even more merciful than that. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرٍ. So we answered his dua and we took away what was ailing him. This is the essence of what Allah mentions of his story, his dua in particular. This dua is very beautiful. Anybody who is struck with any calamity, any disease, any ailment should make this dua. أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرِ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. This is something that all of us can benefit from. But particularly for somebody who is disabled or supporting somebody who is disabled, this dua gives us an understanding on how we should view the matter. Firstly, we should understand that this difficulty that we find ourselves in is not a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a curse. It's not something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing to show us our value, or it's a type of damnation. None of that. He says, "Anni masaniya dur." Harm has touched me. And this idea of harm touching him, he is the Prophet of Allah. He is one of the, the category of prophets is the highest category of human beings. And these are the most beloved people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that I have been touched by harm. That means that this being touched by harm, being in a situation where a person is sick or a person is disabled, is not a curse. It is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran in many places, the Prophet ﷺ tells us in many ahadith, how all types of difficulties are a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Any difficulty that comes and afflicts us, that is from Allah's permission. So it is not a curse, it is a test. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا ابتلاه. The Messenger of Allah tells us that if Allah or when Allah loves a person, He tests them. He puts them in a situation where they are tested. So this, a person who is disabled, who finds himself to be in that situation, or a family member of a person who is taking care of a disabled individual, should understand that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at Ayyub alayhi salam's dua in particular, it is very beautiful how he expresses himself. He doesn't say to Allah, "Oh Allah, I'm sick, I'm in this terrible situation. Why was I selected to be in this situation? Why did I lose all the things that I lost?" He doesn't say any of that. He says, "Anni masaniya dur." Harm has touched me. If you look at the ahadith, or rather the books of tafsir, for example, Ibn Ashur mentions the story of Ayyub alayhi salam. He says, فَقَدَ أَبْنَاءَهُ السَّبْعَ وَبَنَاتَهُ الثَّلَاثِ فِي يَوْمٍ وَاحِدٍ. He lost his 7 sons and his 3 daughters in one day. Subhanallah. فَتَلَقَّى ذَلِكَ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالتَّسْلِيمِ. But he was patient in the face of this loss. This is an unbelievable loss, subhanAllah. Then after that, ثُمَّ ابْتُلِيَ بِإِصَابَةِ قُرُوح فِي جَسَدِهِ. Then he was afflicted by what's today called bed sores. You know, this entire body was swelling and was draining pus to the point where he was unable to move, paralyzed completely. The only thing that he could use functionally was his tongue. فَتَلَقَّى ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ بِصَبْرٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ. But even in that situation, he lived through that with patience and wisdom. So this is a man who's experienced so much loss in his life, so much trauma in his life. Yet when he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't say, oh Allah, I have suffered this and I've suffered that. He says, "Anni masaniya dur." Harm has just touched me. So this is a beautiful expression. Like Ibn Ashur says, this is min al-adab ma'allah. It shows the etiquette that we should have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where this man is characterizing all his sufferings as kalamsin khafif, like some small touch, something barely touched him, or something barely that happened to him. This is the mindset that Ayyub alayhi salam lived with. This is the mindset that enabled him to be patient in the face of such loss and such trauma. This is the example for all of us as well. Particularly for those of us who are suffering through some sort of pain or helping somebody, supporting somebody who is sick or disabled. Dur particularly is a type of sickness or ailment in the body. So this particular example of Ayyub alayhi salam teaches us on how to deal with that. فَتَلَقَّى ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَحِكْمَةِ. To be patient, to have patience, to be wise in this, to not complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not think bad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To not say, why is this difficult situation happening to me? This is not the way to approach the matter. The way to approach the matter is to be patient. The way to approach the matter is to understand there is some plan that Allah has for us. Ayyub alayhi salam remained patient for over a decade. And then finally Allah says, وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا. All that he lost afterwards, his wealth, his kids, everybody who left him and deserted him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced all of that for him. وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ. And he made Ayyub alayhi salam as an example, a shining example for all people afterwards. This is what the situation of turmoil and difficulty, that's what he achieved through that. He achieved through this difficulty and turmoil. All that he lost, he got back, plus he became an example for all people afterwards. So bringing it back to the discussion of somebody who is disabled, or somebody who is taking care of a family member who's disabled, this is a very, very big test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not an easy situation to be in. I have family members who are disabled. And, you know, for example, my cousin, his son is disabled. And it's a very difficult thing for them. Every single aspect of their life is affected. The way they travel, the way they go out to eat, the way they prepare themselves to go meet people, the way they prepare the house to host guests, the schedule that they have on a day-to-day basis, every single aspect of their life is affected by this. But this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we understand. That's what we know. We know that from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know that from the example of the prophets that Allah mentions. And the way we are taught to deal with it is through patience, through optimism, through hope, through dua, not having despair, not ever thinking that this is not going to get better, not ever questioning Allah's wisdom. Why was I put in this? That's not something we ask. We ask, how do I deal with this? Allah, give me the patience to deal with it. When the Prophet ﷺ tells us, when someone loses something, the correct response to that loss is saying, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Indeed, we belong to Allah, and we will return to Allah. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati, وَخْلُفْنِي خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. Oh Allah, reward me for this difficulty that I'm in and replace from me what I've lost. This is the attitude, not, oh Allah, why did this happen to me? We actually say, no, Allah, this is from you. We accept it. Give me the strength to get through it. Help me get better. Replace for me what I have lost. Give me the reward for my patience. This is the attitude that we're taught in dealing with calamities. So for someone who is living with a person who is disabled, same situation applies, or same thing applies to them. We understand that this is not a curse but a test. We look to the life of the Prophet ﷺ and the prophets in general to find ways to navigate this difficulty with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to address particularly parents who might be in a situation that they are raising a child who is disabled. It's a very tough thing. Any situation is tough, but for a parent to be tested through their children is one of the most difficult trials a person can go through. I was going for Umrah once, and the group I was leading had a family, and one of the children of that family was extremely autistic, severely autistic. This is a child who couldn't even read, you know, the signs on the door, like which is the exit and which one is the washroom for the men's. That was the severity of his autism. And the child had, this young man had no control over his body at all. So the mother came to me after the Umrah, the presentation, the seminar on how to do Umrah, and she asked me, I am worried that he's going to throw off his ihram when you put it on during the journey. Like maybe he'll throw it off in the Kaaba. Maybe he'll throw it off his ihram in the plane and becoming exposed. So she's extremely concerned about this. And I told her that this is a person who is غير مكلف. He is not liable for the responsibilities that the Sharia enforces upon people. He is not liable for that. So for him, none of those conditions or none of those requirements apply. Think about this for a second. The Sharia, our Sharia that we practice, it enforces certain responsibilities upon the people who are following it. For example, all of you, mashallah, are mukallafin. You are people who are liable for your actions. If you were to lie, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable for it. You are here praying Jum'ah because you're liable for that. You have to come and you have to pray. Because you have reached of age, you're of sound mind, you're free, etc., etc. That makes you liable for that action. One of the conditions of taklif is being of sound mind. If you are not of sound mind, if you are disabled, taklif does not apply. Of course, given the severity of it, that's also always considered. But in the case of this particular young man, he was so severely disabled, none of those conditions, none of those requirements applied to him. The beautiful part of the religion is this, brothers and sisters, that when taklif does not apply to a person, that person essentially is sinless. A child, there is no liability on the child. He's a child or she's a child. So that child is sinless, beautiful. Like the Prophet said in the example, كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْكَ أُمُّكَ. When a person comes back from Hajj, it's like the day your mother gave birth to you. Like a child, sinless and pure of sin. Completely clean. The person who is disabled is in the same category. They are somebody who, if their disability stops them from practicing Islam, that is a person who is not carrying the sins, not carrying the burdens of this world. That is a person of paradise living amongst us, subhanAllah. And that's how we see them. That's how we should see them. SubhanAllah. Think about that, the reward of visiting a person who's sick. The reward of person just going to someone's house. I go to somebody's house who's sick. I have some, you know, tea with them. I eat some samosas, crack some jokes. I come back home. That particular action is so beautiful and so worthy in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that 70,000 angels would pray for me from the moment I leave until it's night. And if I did it at night, they would continue praying for me until it's morning. Just the action of visiting a person who's sick and saying, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? Subhanallah. Can you imagine the reward of the person who perpetually is taking care of a disabled person? Every single day of their life, they're taking care of this person. Can you imagine the angels who are praying for them and the reward that they're carrying? It is an immense reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that we will, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, the people who are patient, their reward is given without any count. This is a very beautiful statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a very powerful one, and transformative if you understand it. When we come to pray, we are praying for what, half hour here, maybe 30 minutes for the khutbah, 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes for the salah, 10 minutes for you to come here, maybe 10 minutes for you to go back. All that added up together is an hour, maybe hour and 10 minutes of actual time spent worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then once you finish that, the reward stops. The person who is patient, their reward never stops. Every single moment, the counter of good deeds is increasing. It's always running. Because they're always patient. Every single moment of their lives. If a person who's taking care of somebody who's disabled, every single moment the counter of ajr is running up for them. That's how we're supposed to view it, brothers and sisters. It's not to belittle the difficulty of the people who are taking care of someone who's disabled. It's not to somehow hope for being in that situation. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that we should ask Allah for health and well-being. Sallallahu al-afwa wal-afiyah. Ya Abbas, ya Amma Rasulillah, sallallahu al-afwa wal-afiyah. Ask for good health and ask for well-being. You don't ask for tests and trials. You don't ask Allah to put us in difficult circumstances. But if He tests us and puts us in those circumstances, this is how we deal with them. We deal with it with patience. We deal with it hoping for the reward. We deal with it and we reframe the whole situation. This is Allah's test. Every action I do, I'm rewarded. The counter of ajr is running. The angels are praying. This is a person who is a sinless person. This is a person of Jannah. When we view things this way, that gives us the strength, that gives us the ability to be able to cope with these challenges. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُونَ وَالْغَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وولا أما بعد. Last Monday was the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, and what I was addressing was how we are supposed to deal with people who are disabled or support those who are taking care of disabled people from the guidance of the Quran and Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And I mentioned the example of Ayyub alayhi salam, how he is the shining light in when it comes to dealing with these calamities, dealing with trauma and loss with patience. And our Prophet ﷺ is also a beautiful shining light when it comes to dealing with loss and difficulties. The Prophet ﷺ lost 6 of his kids before he died, ﷺ. Right? And so when he tells us, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ صَدْمَةِ الْأُولَى, patience is holding yourself at the strike of the first calamity, he knows what he's talking about. When the Prophet tells us, وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا, we are only going to say what pleases our master. إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتَدْمَى وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَحْزَنُ, the eyes are overflowing with tears and the heart is grieved. Those are natural reactions, that's emotions. That's going to happen. But وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا, but we only say what pleases our master. He knows what he's talking about. He's preaching us what he's lived his entire life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is to deal with these difficulties that Allah puts us through with patience. And to reframe the situation so we have the ability and the strength to deal with them. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us also how we are supposed to take care of and accommodate for the disabled members of our community. Like I mentioned, we don't see it as a curse. We don't see it as a disgrace. We do not see it as a punishment. We see it as a test. So we have to now accommodate for those of us who are being tested. The Prophet ﷺ chose Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu as his second muadhin. The first, of course, famously was Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. The second of the muadhins was Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, as you might know, was blind. He is the blind Sahabi mentioned in or referenced in Surah Abasa, Abasa wa Tawalla, and Ja'ahu al-A'ma. That al-A'ma is Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu. He was the cousin of Khadija radiallahu anhu, one of the earliest converts to Islam, one of the most devoted to the cause of Islam radiallahu anhu. But he was blind. He was disabled. The Prophet ﷺ chose him to be the muadhin. Now think about this for a second. Giving adhan back in the day, before you had apps to tell you what time is salah, you needed to look at the sky and the sun and the place where the sun is in the sky would tell you about the time of the prayer. You actually needed to be able to see to give the adhan. But Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu couldn't see. Yet the Prophet ﷺ chose him to be the muadhin, chose him for this status, for this rank. And to accommodate for Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, the Prophet assigned a sahabi, to sit with Abdullah. And this person would look at the sky. And when the sun would start rising, he would say, قَدْ أَصْبَحْتَ قَدْ أَصْبَحْتَ. It's morning. Give adhan. And Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum would stand up and give adhan. Subhanallah. This is how the Prophet treated those with disabilities, to accommodate for them, to make sure that they're included in the community, to ensure that they don't feel shunned and left out. He set the example for us to follow it and to be able to ensure that those of us who are tested with this, we can help them through this test. This is what the believers are supposed to be. The believers are supposed to be al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minat ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. Believers are supporters of each other. And supporting each other means many, many things. But particularly it means to support people through the tests and difficulties of life, helping them get through it. Whether it's with a good word you say to them, whether it's by visiting somebody who's sick, whether it's financially supporting somebody who's in need, it doesn't matter how a believer, the community of believers is supposed to be together and support each other, and particularly those of us who are suffering with disabilities or being tested through disabilities, those who are supporting those who are disabled. This is a communal responsibility that we have to take upon, and a communal responsibility that we have to fulfill according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding of the Quran and Sunnah and allow us to implement it in our lives. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين وصل على محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين اللهم أحينا على سنته وأمتنا على ملته واحشرنا في زمرته واسقنا من حوضه يا رب العالمين والله allow us to live and die like the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and raise us resurrect us in his company on the day of judgment and give us a drink from his pond on the day of judgment. Allahumma aati nufusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mulaha ya rabbal alameen. O Allah, purify us. You are the best of those who purifies. Allahumma aatina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Our master, give us the best in this life and the best in the next life and save us from the fire of hell. Wa qimus salam.